Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 22. Let us listen to the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, all in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and the signs of the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading this morning is from John chapter 14, verses 8 through 17. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus replied, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does the work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and is in you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I remember as a young kid looking up to my dad so much. Because dad could do anything, right?
Right.
You remember when you were that age? I remember watching him mow the lawn and wanting to mow the lawn so bad. And you know, I kind of thought that's why the lawnmower had two bars. There was the high one up here and the shorter one right in front. It was so that I could walk in front of him and push the short bar while he'd let me do it sometimes. We'd have to get out of the way so we could turn it around and we'd push the lawnmower back across the next stripe. And, oh, those were good times.
I had a push mower, Pastor. He said, get on it.
Taking it way back, yeah. We learn from our parents so much. We see what they do. I learned so much from my mom, too. She was an administrator, and a college administrator, vice president, and I would watch how she handled people, and usually, she was an HR director for a while and then a dean of students for a while, so most of the time, the situations that she had to deal with were problems, right? People doing things they shouldn't be doing, whether it was HR situations or students. And watching the way that she cared and showed compassion for the people in front of her in spite of the fact that they had probably done something they shouldn't have done was something that I learned powerfully, being able to stand and watch. This is very much a text and a day to think about our Father's business. In fact, this is one of the things Jesus says early on in the temple, right? When he's 12 years old and Mary and Joseph can't believe he's abandoned them to stay in the temple and hang out. And Jesus tells them, don't you know I have to be about my Father's work? Some beautiful stuff here, because the disciples come to Jesus and of course want what we all want. We want to know what God is like. This is kind of the crux of the question that Philip asks. Jesus, just tell us what God is like. Let us see God and we'll be great. We'll be fine. That's all we need. And Jesus says, of course, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What do you think I've been doing this whole time, Philip? From the time I called you to this present, I have been showing you and revealing precisely what God is like. As we went from place to place and I was healing people, as I was calling these little children to sit on my lap, as I was making the world a better place, as I was calling forth the true person within each human being that I met, this is doing my Father's work. This is me revealing precisely what God is like. Did you catch what he says next, right after that? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. You know what God is like. I'm in God and God is in me, and now you are going to do even greater works than this. What's he talking about?
Go.
What's his work?
The
revealing the Father, right? What Jesus says his work was showing us God. And then he tells his disciples that their job is going to be doing even more of this. Just as I have revealed the Father to you, it is now going to be your job to reveal the Father to everyone else. As I am in God and God is in me, so you are going to be in me and I am going to be in you. This is some heady stuff, right? I kind of think we gloss over this just a little bit because Pentecost, as is always noted, is the foundation of the church, right? But it kind of comes back a little bit earlier to this, to Jesus saying, I have been showing the world the Father, and this is going to be your work. You are going to do greater work than even I have done in this job of revealing God, who he is, what he is like to the rest of the world. And you're going to do it the same way I have been doing it. Jesus said here that he says nothing unless his Father says it through him. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me. How does Jesus do this work of revealing the Father? through God in him. Oh man, can we talk about Pentecost? Yes, please. Jesus dies, is resurrected, goes back to heaven, and the disciples are kind of stuck. They don't know what to do. They just hang out in Jerusalem for a long time. They're there together, they're praying, and then all of a sudden, this day happens. It's 50 days after the crucifixion, actually. Pentecost is this, the Greek word Pentecost literally means 50 days. And it was the celebration of the Hebrew, oh man, I'm going to have to look up the word because it's not one I was that familiar with before this week. I'm still learning things every week. I love it. Shavuot is the Hebrew festival of harvest, and it comes 7 weeks after the festival of, let me go back to it, is Deuteronomy chapter 16, if you want to go with me. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 9. Count off 7 weeks from when you first begin to cut the grain at the time of the harvest. Then celebrate the festival of harvest to honor the Lord your God. Bring him a voluntary offering in proportion to the blessings you have received from him. This is a time to celebrate before the Lord your God at the designated place of worship he will choose for his name to be honored. Celebrate with your sons and daughters, your male servants and female servants, the Levites in your towns, the foreigners, the orphans, the widows who live among you. Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, so be careful to obey all of these decrees. The Shavuot festival that they were celebrating there, Pentecost, is a festival of harvest, a celebration of the life God gives. The wheat harvest comes first, right? I'm noticing that here. It's still pretty early summer, and the wheat's already. It's turned yellow. Same thing there. This early harvest, this celebration of the life God is pouring out for all people. And of course, if you had an abundant harvest, what are you supposed to do?
Share.
Yeah, share. Celebrate abundantly and include all of the people with less. The aliens, the foreigners, the orphans, the widows. The people who are on the margins are precisely the ones who get invited in. It's this beautiful festival of recognizing that all we have is gift from God. And so if we have an abundance of gift, the very best thing we can do with that is to invite, of course, what is God like if all of this abundance is a gift from God? An incredibly generous God. If we as God's people are going to go about revealing God in this world, how do we do it? Abundant generosity to the people around us, right? That flow of God in us, through us, that flow of life, the flow of spirit, breath, air, wind, that we have breath means we give freely of our life to the people around us, just as God has given freely of God's life to us. This was the early, this is the festival that God enacted for the ancient Hebrews that was part of their yearly cycle of remembering who God is and what it was like, was this celebration of harvest, that this incredible life and goodness come from God, and it's a day to remember and include and give to those who have less. And this is where we find ourselves on Pentecost in Jerusalem, as the believers are in that room praying, and a mighty wind rushes through, and the Spirit falls visibly on all of them, and all of a sudden they are doing things they couldn't do before, right? They are speaking in Cretan and Cappadocian and all things they didn't know. What are they proclaiming? What God has done, right? Jesus. That you are loved, that God came here and became one of us, that God is with us and for us, that we all have a place in God's kingdom. Spirit is enabling God's people to proclaim the goodness of God, to reveal God to every single person who is there. This is the power of this story. How many of the believers had the Spirit fall on them? Or he says it twice, all. each. How many of the people there heard it in their tongue?
All.
Each of them. We have God pouring out God's self in all of them for all of them. Whoa. How amazing is this? That the work of God, what God wants, is to give God's self to us, to fill us each with God, that we might go forth and reveal God to every single person out there. This is indeed a very good start for what it means to be church. A group of people filled with God's presence, whose mission is proclaiming God's love to every single person they encounter. This is what God is, of course, doing. God is, when Jesus says, you ask for it, you'll get it. Ask for it in my name and you've got it. It is precisely as a part of this work. He's not saying, ask to win the lottery and I'll give you the winning numbers. Because that's where most of us went on that one, right? Miraculously cure my cancer. That's not what he said he'd do. The work that he is up to, that I believe he will always give us precisely what we need in doing, is revealing God to the world around us. The Spirit gave the gifts, and I think this gets missed so easily. The Spirit always gives the gifts the church needs for God's work in the world at the present. The reason we're not miraculously speaking in tongues right now is because that's not what God needs to reveal God in this world at present. What does God need? Yeah, human beings willing to lay their lives on the line for the people around them, right? Last week's sermon of Paul and Silas being willing not to walk out of jail in the middle of the earthquake. That's what God still needs, and where you and I have powerful opportunities every day to do things for the people around us that reveal God's presence, that show that they are loved and cared for. The hallmark of the Spirit's presence is giving the gifts we need to proclaim God's presence to the people around us. And God will continue to give us the gifts we need to be God's church proclaiming and revealing God today, wherever we are. It might not look like speaking Swahili, which is too bad because that sounds like fun. Actually, I'd prefer Xhosa, the one with the clicks. I should learn that. It'd be people. Xhosa. You listen to Desmond Tutu talk in his native language, and it's just amazing. Just as the emphasis of Shavuot, that the ancient Hebrew festival, the harvest festival, was on sharing the gifts God had given to the people around them, the emphasis of Pentecost is on sharing the gift of God's presence in us with the people around us. This is something just as relevant and powerful in 2019 as it was then. I love that Peter quotes Joel 2:28 here, where God promises to pour out God's Spirit on all flesh. That's not just humans, by the way. In Hebrew, the term flesh meant living beings. If God's pouring out God's self and God's presence on everything alive, back to this, where is God? In everything. In your dog. In you. In your neighbor. Like that God is giving of God's self to everything. What if we took that seriously? What if we started, there's two levels of taking this seriously, I think. One is taking it seriously that God is pouring out God's self in me. Like, that comes, the Spider-Man thing, right? With great power comes great responsibility. What would it mean for me to take seriously this work of God trying to pour out God's self in me? Maybe you should pay a little more attention to that. And then there's the work of paying attention to God, pouring out God in the rest of us, right? If God is trying to pour out God's Spirit in you, maybe I should pay a little more attention to you too. That I probably have things to learn from every single human being out here because God is pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. There will be these surprising revelations of God everywhere in everyone. Wow. As Jesus said, just trust and believe that I am in God and God is in me. What would it mean to trust and believe that we are in God and God is in us? This is the work of our Father. This is what he is inviting us into. This is what it means for us to start paying attention to our God and getting good at what our God is good at. Loving and caring and healing this world and the people in it. What if, in honor of Pentecost, we took this seriously this week for a start? We could do it next week too. Taking stock of what we have been given. Not just financial resources. What about patience? I have not been given that much patience, but I'm working on it. Understanding. What if we've been given relationships and connection, a wealth of support? How could we give generously of that to people who might have less? How could we give of our energy? How could we give of the specific skills that we might have? Maybe it's cooking. Maybe it's mechanical ability. Maybe it's understanding the tax code. Nah, no one does that. Maybe it's simply taking the time to listen and to pray for the people around us. To be fully present with what they are experiencing and going through. I think remembering and honoring Pentecost means offering our time and our gifts to God to use in blessing the lives of the people around us. What God did that day in pouring out his Spirit on those people was because they made themselves available for it. They were asking for God to be more fully present in their lives, in this work of revealing God. What would it mean for us to do that as well? To offer who we are to God. I think there's some wonderful beauty in this being the unleashing of God in the world, right? That Pentecost is kind of taking off the reins and letting the Spirit run full bore through our world. How fun would it be to have the Spirit run full bore through my life? How fun would it be to have the Spirit run full bore through our church, through our town? That's something I want in on. Maybe that is a greater work than this. My prayer for you is that you would see that God is still seeking to pour out God's Spirit. That God wants nothing more than to invite you into the work God is doing in revealing God's self to each and every person in your life. Amen.